are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. So, this is the fourth Sunday in Eastertide, which the lectionary marks as Good Shepherd Sunday, with a reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John in all 3 years of the lectionary cycle. Now, I have a very particular affection for this Sunday, thanks to 8 years that I spent working for the Sisters of the Good Shepherd at Marymount here in Winnipeg, a treatment resource for adolescent girls. The first two of my years at Marymount were spent working as a youth care worker as I finished off my university degree and took a year of full-time work before heading off to theological college. My second round of years at Marymount were after 3 years in seminary and 2 years in a parish, and Sister Monica invited me to come back and serve there as chaplain, which I was very eager to do. In so many ways, it was a splendid time for me, in part because I got to work alongside of those sisters and learn from them something of what it meant to model one's life and ministry after the Good Shepherd. Now, I know that people often hold a set of stereotypes regarding people in religious orders, whether they are nuns or monks. They must be terribly serious, one imagines, or maybe they're emotionally repressed. It's the only way they can cope with the world. And of course, there are those accounts of some people, children in residential schools, for instance, who experienced abuse at the hands of people in religious orders, which is simply tragic. But what I saw in those sisters at Marymount was a shepherd's heart, which is probably why they were drawn to that order in the first place. In their statement of values, they hold individual worth, mercy, reconciliation, and what they call zeal, the passionate giving of their time and talents for the sake of others. Those sit at the heart of their work and their calling. The founder of that order, Mary Euphrasia, was a French woman who lived in the 1800s, who was passionate about caring for the most vulnerable women and girls in that society. And they could be very vulnerable in the 1850s and 60s and 70s in cities like Paris. She coined a phrase that stood as the motto for the order: one person is more valuable than the world, which stood as a call to care for each person with love and commitment because their worth was inestimable. Part of what made that community so good and grounded was its embrace of earthiness and humor. I have a very vivid memory of sitting in our group meetings during my days as a youth care worker with Sister Bridget, our unit supervisor, talking to the 10 girls in our unit, going over the ups and downs of the week, scolding when necessary, challenging when that's what was needed, and generally just tuning up that group of 10 girls for the week. And then, as soon as she was finished this more serious part of her work, out would come her deck of cards for a magic trick, her latest brain teaser puzzle, or some endlessly corny, like seriously corny set of jokes, all of which those girls, street tough and troubled, absolutely adored. And they adored her because at all of 4'10", wearing her simple white habit and her Good Shepherd cross, they knew that they were in the presence of a strong, loving, capable Good Shepherd. None of us hired staff had even close to the connection she had with the kids, much less the authority. She worked with him in that place from about the age of 20 when she entered the order until her age and health put her into retirement, which was well past the usual age of retirement. So in this gospel tonight, when I hear Jesus talk about shepherding, I know that I saw some of that in Sister Bridget. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, he says. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What he has brought out, all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Or her voice, in the case of Sister Bridget. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and because they trust that shepherd, they will follow. They will not follow a stranger, Jesus continues, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. And if you know anything at all about sheep, that's absolutely true. My aunt and uncle had a sheep farm in Scotland. And when I visited with them for 2 weeks back when I was about 15 years old, I tried time and again to get close to one of the sheep, one of the lambs, maybe to pat it or feed it some of the grass I'd picked out of the side of the fence. Not a chance. Not a chance. But my uncle, he could walk out into the pasture and be greeted by that flock. So familiar and known to them was he. And that's precisely the relationship Jesus wants to cultivate. He did with his disciples and those close around him, and he wants to with us. He wants us to know him and trust him, and to follow his path and his ways, confident that we're not being led into the wrong territory. And that, of course, is all there in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want because the shepherd has taken me into green pastures beside still waters and is restoring my soul. It is along right pathways that he leads me, and I'm called to trust that. But then comes probably the most critical portion of the psalm. And here I'm going to switch over to the King James Version, which is the one from which I originally heard this psalm read as a child. And in that translation, the writer says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And of this verse, the biblical scholar James Limburg comments, "With this verse 4, the tranquil mood is shattered. The psalmist refers to going through dangerous places and reports, surprisingly, that even then, I fear no evil. The reason for this absence of fear follows immediately as the psalmist switches from talking about the Lord, the shepherd, to speaking to the Lord, for you are with me, you are with me." And I really like that distinction between speaking about the Lord and speaking to the Lord. The former, speaking about, is doing a bit of theological talk, a bit of theological work, and that's all good, while the latter is more akin to a prayer, an almost stubborn prayer, "You, Lord, are with me. Right through the darkest and hardest of times, you, Lord, please be with me when I walk that land." Limburg then comments on the rod and the staff, saying that the rod was a short wooden club used to defend the sheep against animal or human enemies, while, quote, "the staff was longer and could be used to help sheep struggling up a difficult path or through whatever darkness and wilderness they must pass. And then Lindbergh stops there. And I would want to continue because I'd say the staff could also be used to move a lazy or perhaps stubborn sheep with a good whack on the flank to keep it moving. And you know, there are times when lazy or stubborn or just plain stuck humans need a bit of a whack with the divine staff to get us moving. Not that our good shepherd has a literal staff in hand, but there are other ways in which Jesus can give us that shake. Think of St. Paul. Before he becomes Paul, Saul the Pharisee, on the road to Damascus to arrest disciples, being struck down blind and hearing the voice of Jesus. That felt tough, I'm sure, but it was ultimately something born of love for Paul. But back briefly to the sisters at Marymount. One of the sisters who'd lived there even longer than Sister Bridget was Sister Eustelle. If Bridget was 4'10", Sister Eustelle might have been 4'7". Having shrunken in height during her 90-plus years, a good 70 of them spent as a sister at Marymount. Among other things that she'd done there, she'd been a music teacher in the school, and she continued to teach piano well into her 80s. But now, in her 90s, she had officially retired from all her duties. Not that she became invisible. No, no. In fact, Sister Eustelle was always around, visiting with staff, going down to the school to chat with the girls, and just generally being a lovely presence around the place. One morning, I was working in my office, which was just off of the chapel. She walked in and said, "Hello," and then she knelt down at the prayer desk, which was sitting right beside where I was reading. And she said, "I'd like to make my confession, Father." Now, I happened to know her memory was slipping a little bit, and I thought that perhaps she'd forgotten that I wasn't a Roman Catholic priest. And so maybe confession wasn't really what she was after for me. So I said, now, sister, you do remember that I'm an Anglican." "Of course I know that," she replied. "There's only one God. What does it matter?" And then, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And into her confession we went. At the end, I pronounced absolution. And then she said, "Father, what is my penance?" Which was something I'd not really thought about nor expected. So I said, "Today, make sure that you say a prayer for me and for each of the girls you talk to and I will talk with today." "That's a good one," she said. And back out into the chapel, 4'7", Sister Eustelle wandered. Truly, it was a lovely, memorable, significant shepherding moment that Sister Eustelle offered to me, a young Anglican priest, who she said, "Father, hear my confession." We, each of us, can offer shepherding moments one to another. Sometimes they take a little courage and sometimes a little audacity and sometimes just the patience to slow down and look and love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.